Good morning. Let's start with our memory verse that we've been working on this month, Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's one of the best verses, I think, in all of Scripture, telling us how to be saved and having sins washed away, get rid of sins. And so that's why we're here, because of Jesus and what He's done in our lives. This morning, today, is about being refreshed, and it's about our small groups. And so we're going to talk about small groups. Did it again. Is that 2 weeks in a row? I had a week where I did right. Thank you. Give me credit where it's due. I need all the credit I can get. Thank you. Wow. Start over? Just make us be here longer. It's Darren's fault. Listen, and really all of you. I don't know. There's something going on this morning with our worship, and it is awesome. It's wonderful. This should be the highlight of our week, and we're off to a great, great week. Amen. Small group refresh. We're going to talk about small groups this morning, and this is so we'll kind of get into that, and later in the lesson we'll get into. I'll go through each group and talk about them. But I want to begin and have you think with me about something you may have seen in the news recently, the name Mary Lou Retton. When I say Mary Lou Retton, if you're older, you certainly know who I'm talking about. Maybe if you're young, you don't. But years ago, in the Olympics, one of the great American female gymnasts, Mary Lou Retton, And there were really, honestly, headlines about her stealing the hearts of America. We as a nation, as a society, we just became endeared with this athlete that's representing our nation. And she had a contagious smile. She was a fantastic gymnast, just a person. We didn't know her, but she had a personality that made you want to know her. But headlines recently, she's been ill with cancer, I believe did not have insurance and came to be in a financial burden, and so there are things like that going on. And I would expect at the end of her life, at her funeral or memorial, I would expect whoever officiates that will probably talk about what a wonderful gymnast she was and how devoted she was to that craft. At your funeral, which is an odd thing to think about, but just bear with me, at your memorial, your funeral, what will people say about you? I've done a number of funerals. I've talked about a number of people at their service, and I try to, you know, honor the family and highlight what they like to do and what their interests were. And a lot of times a person was really, they're just really passionate about something, and so we'll highlight that. At my funeral, and this is something I want you to wrestle with for you, but at my funeral, do I really want someone talking about what a big Sooner fan Elliot was, or how Elliot loved to go cut firewood, or how Elliot loved to manicure, get his lawn just wonderfully green, or you see what I mean? These things that I might enjoy. Do I really want that to be what is held up? Boy, Elliot was, or he was really good at this, good at that. When you stop and think, what do you want people to say at your funeral? What you want them to say is they loved God. Amen. They were devoted to God. What are you devoted to? And that's something that I need to work on for me, and I would imagine you may need to work on for you. What are we devoted to? So let's go and start with Acts 2:42. This is when the church first started. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, granted, they didn't have the New Testament. Our New Testament is a lot of what the apostles were teaching through the inspired Holy Spirit. But they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. So the fellowship is each other. It's our connections. Breaking of bread would be communion and then prayers. Those four things is what they devoted. That's what the early Christians devoted themselves to. They were committed to that. They were passionate about that. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. And that's a lot of what fellowship is. It's common. It's together. So we read on verse 45, they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They were together, and in their homes they were in small groups. So they would go to the temple and sometimes meet in a certain part of the temple area. But when the church began, there were 3,000. By Acts chapter 4, verse 4, there's 5,000 men. That's not women and children. The church was large. I don't know exactly how they did it. I don't know exactly. What do you do with that? You know, how many people come at once? I don't know. But I do know this. You cannot fit 3,000 people in a home. 5,000 men, you would expect upwards of 10,000 at that point, women and children. You don't fit that many in a home. So when they met in homes, they were in smaller groups. And they were connected. They cared about each other. They took care. When people had needs among the church, they took care of it. They loved each other. They supported each other. And so the fellowship was something they were devoted to. When you and I stop and think, am I devoted to God? Is God what I'm most passionate about? Now let me ask this. When they were in their homes, that's separate because you can't get all of them in one home, so they're in separate homes. Were they cliques? A clique, by definition, is a group that is exclusive. So I would call them a closed group. This is a group of people, could be on in a high school, could be anywhere, could be in an office setting or in a church, where you have a group of people, and when others try to enter the group, this group doesn't really welcome that. That's a clique. Were these groups of the first church that were meeting in homes, were they cliques? And I would certainly hope they were not. The fact that they're growing day by day indicates that they were not. They're trying to grow. And that's what we're trying to do as a church, isn't it? Did you know that as a congregation, we could be a clique if we're not welcoming to outsiders? We don't want that. That's not what we're about. And we don't want our small groups to be cliques either. So just to reminder, part of what we're doing today is encouraging our small groups to be reaching out and inviting. All right, Hebrews, here's our scripture reading. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what I've highlighted in red, stir up one another, encouraging one another, this is regarding coming together, and this passage would be a context. I believe it's correct that the idea here is the Sunday morning gathering. When you come here on Sunday mornings, are you thinking about encouraging someone? Are you thinking about stirring someone up? I think it's easy to get in a groove of coming to worship and having, we're creatures of habit for sure. You sit where you normally sit. We do that. And you probably enter a certain door, almost every time the same door, maybe come at the same time, maybe have a similar routine. And we talk to a few people, and we participate in worship, and we leave, but are we thinking about how can I lift somebody up today? And I think it's easy to come and I do this because it's what I'm supposed to do. A, I do want to go to heaven. Heard about that. Heard about hell. Sign me up for heaven. That's why I'm here. B, I'm here to do the worship. But Scripture teaches us a lot of why we're together. We could do this at home, all separate. The church could have always done that. But God wanted us together to encourage one another. So I want you to think in the future when you come here and today before you leave, how can you encourage someone? That's part of why you're here. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And a scripture from Proverbs I want to put with this, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. This is a lot of why God wants us together. We need each other. We need each other. The Christian walk to be faithful to God is not easy. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. It's not easy. The devil is always coming at us. Satan's always working on us. The world is always around us. Negative attitudes are everywhere. And a lot of times, don't think that you're not also responsible for some negative attitude. I mean, it's a struggle. And to do right, think right and be right and walk with God closely is not always easy, but having each other helps a lot. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I was talking to Dad about small groups, and Dad had never been in a small group before coming here a number of years ago, and honestly, I had neither in my life until this congregation, doing small groups on Sunday evenings. So I asked Dad, what'd you think about small groups before you joined? And his comment about that is, he said, I always thought of churches that did small groups, and I just figured they don't want to do worship again. They just don't want to do, they're not into worship. And so they'd rather just sit and visit than to have a worship service again. He said, but I came to realize that there wasn't near enough fellowship before and that people didn't share their burdens like they do in a small group. In fact, he also said, a church that doesn't have small groups really doesn't know anyone very well. It's true, in a small group setting, just like in those, the early church met in homes, in a small group setting, you get to know someone personally, their struggles. And it takes a little bit of time, but when people start sharing things that are heavy on their heart, and they want you to pray for them, and we talk about that as a group, it's a powerful thing. It's a wonderful thing, and it lives out this verse, bear one another's burdens. Our elders here, about 23 years ago, led this congregation to a change. Instead of meeting Sunday nights in a format a lot like this, we would meet in small groups. And that was a big change. But our elders decided to use that Sunday evening time as a fellowship. And I don't mean, when I say fellowship, I don't mean talking about football and talking about the weather and talking about shopping. I don't mean some of the small, we have small talk here and that's okay. That's really not fellowship. I have small talk with people I'm standing in line with, at the tag office or Quick Trip or, don't you? I mean, we have small talk with everybody. I have small talk with my neighbors, but it's not fellowship. Not necessarily. And when we do that here, it's fine, but that's not fellowship. Because our Christian faith and our connectedness to each other is deeper than that. It's supposed to be deeper. We're supposed to be bearing each other's burdens. And so I'm thankful that our elders did that and made that decision, and we've been doing it ever since. There's nothing quite like a small group where you can bear each other's burdens. I've seen numerous times in a group setting where someone open up about what's heavy on their heart, and the whole group, whatever we planned, oftentimes, we may put that on the shelf, and we just talk about this. And we talk about, and we encourage, and we share, and then we stop and pray. It's powerful, as it should be. It's a wonderful thing. So today, small group refresh, that's what we're doing today. It's a good day. If you're in a group, sometimes you've been in a group for a while, and you feel like a different group would fit your needs better. And so today's a good time. If you need to change groups or would like to do that, today's a good time to do that. If you had been in a group before, but you've been kind of out of the habit, today's a great time to get back in the habit of being in a small group. And if you've never been in a small group, today is a perfect day. Try one today, all right? We have 9 different groups that will meet tonight, this afternoon and this evening, sorry. And I encourage all of you, if you're not in a group, try one today. That's our goal. And so I'm going to run through our different groups and share some things about them. Incidentally, the PowerPoint slides I'll show in talking about our groups and the handouts that we have on the table, we have stapled handouts regarding our groups. And we'll have small group leaders or representatives in the foyer. When we're dismissed and you walk out and you say, well, man, I thought about this one group, but I really needed to ask so-and-so a question about it. We're going to have those people standing over by the water fountain when you leave to make it as easy as possible. Whatever will help you, we want to do that. And so they're going to be holding those same papers. All the papers are the same today, and they all have information about today's group. Today's small group, where it's meeting today. Next week, it may be in a different home, may be in a different time, usually not. But the details that you'll see today on a handout are regarding today. All right. I might as well go ahead and call this our flagship group, to be honest, because they are truthfully the most consistent, a strong numbered group, and they do very well. And so Brian Benton is the leader of this group. And so I have try to give you an idea of who's in this group with our pictures. These are saints. Can you see the halos? You know, so all of these. Wonderful. So this group meets from 5 to 7. They meet in the activity building. This is a great group. If you happen to have a teen and you want to meet somewhere where you need to drive your teenager and drop them off with the youth group next door, this group meets at the same time. They don't do food. They will have a discussion of the sermon, and they'll do prayer requests and prayer. And so a couple of our groups, their format is to discuss a sermon, which is a good thing. After you hear the Word of God preached, we should be stirred with some thoughts, some comments, maybe some questions, and so group is a good place to do that. This group, like I think all of our groups really, have a group text of some kind. It could be GroupMe app, could be just a group text that they've set up, but I think all of our small groups communicate during the week. I know the one I'm in, I see up close and personal, and so we're periodically sending prayer requests during the week and just talking back and forth, and so staying connected, it's really, really good. We'll have a couple blank spots you see there with no pictures, and that's just a reminder. All our groups are trying to grow. All of them are welcoming and ready for more people to come. That's our goal. Mark Yearout leads this group. They meet at 1:30, end around 3. And so if you've ever thought, you know, I wish I could leave here, go eat real quick, come back and do group and then be done for the rest of the day. Maybe that fits your schedule better. They meet in the fellowship room. They don't do food. They'll do highs and lows. They are doing a video series. They've been doing a video series on the seven churches and those towns in Revelation, and some history and details about that, and considering a video series about Jesus and the places he went. And so really some interesting study with this group. They'll do prayer requests after that, and they'll close with a prayer. This group, incidentally, and Tom Sism's group, these are both in a little bit of transition because they'd combined for a time, and now they're trying to get going in two different groups again. And so they're looking, like all our groups, to add new people, welcome new people in. This group meets at 4 o'clock. They'll meet tonight at Tom and Karen's home. They do not do food. They'll do a study right now of Revelation, and from the eyes of a first century Christian. And so an interesting study. They'll do discussion, prayer requests, and prayer. This is our largest group. This group has a bunch of kids, a bunch of children. It's wonderful. And currently they're meeting the second and fourth Sunday, so they are meeting today. And they would like to grow and maybe get back to meeting every Sunday, so they're welcoming new people, as all of our groups are. They normally meet at 5, but tonight at 5:30, Kenny and Mary Ann's home. They will do food. They'll do highs and lows, a family devotional, prayer, and you have to earn your way to the food. So they do the important things first, and if you make it that long, you get to eat with them. Taylor and Melissa Wittenberg will represent this group in the foyer. If you have any questions about this group when you leave, they'll be out in the foyer ready to help you. Of course, you can ask anyone in any of these groups as well, but we'll be stationed out there and ready. Do you like to eat out? If that's your thing, this group may be for you. They'll come and meet for an hour in the activity building classroom from 5 to 6. They'll discuss the sermon, have a prayer, and then they'll go eat out together and fellowship some more. And so a good group to consider. This group is the group that I lead, and we meet from 6 to 7:30. We meet at our home. And tonight we have snacks. It's really a meal. It's just a hodgepodge of different things that are delicious. We start out doing that. We eat first. We get our food first. We're going through the Chosen series, which has been really interesting for us. We'll watch half or all of a Chosen episode and discuss it. It's been really good. We'll do highs and lows, prayer requests, and then prayer. This is Steve Hess's group that he leads. It is not a male-only club. They will let women in this club. Okay? It's just kind of turned out that way. But this group meets from 3 to 4 in the fellowship room. They don't do food. They'll have a Bible study, some really interesting discussion, and a prayer. And so I'm really glad. This group started out with just Steve and Lindell. And picked up Russell and just kind of grew from there. So I really love that we have so many different groups, because our goal is the more groups we have, then the more that there might be one that would be just right for you and be a blessing to you. We also have a 5 o'clock service group that meets in the fellowship room. It goes through a shorter kind of a worship service, but it's a traditional small worship service. We don't do food, but we'll sing and have prayer. We'll offer communion, and I preach 10 to 15 minutes. It's always textual. We're in Hebrews right now, so it's kind of nice for our people. They always know where the next script, where we're going to be next week in our sermon time. But this is a good group, and meets the needs of some, and it may be perfect for you to come at 5 o'clock. It's a really enjoyable time together on Sunday evenings. Then we have our young people, our teen group, and they meet in all kinds of places. But tonight they're going to be at Curtis and Stephanie's home. So a lot of weeks they'll be in the teen building. across the street. Sometimes they may be doing a service project. Sometimes they'll go to an area wide. And so there's a variety. But tonight they'll be at the Prices. They do eat, and they will certainly tonight. They may not always have food or have a meal. But they'll do highs and lows, prayer, singing, devotional, and oftentimes an activity. I also want to mention that we don't currently have, there's a group that we're trying to get going. It'll take a little while, but our 20s group, we don't currently have a 20s small group, but we'd like to. So we're working on getting some things in place so we can do that in the future. So if you're in your 20s, here's what I want to say to you. Go ahead and participate in a group now. And when we're ready to launch that group that's specifically, you know, for your age, then you can tell your group it's been fun, but I got a better gig, and I'll see you guys on Sunday, and so we'll get that 20s group going. So we have 9 groups right now, and hopefully 10 before long. I also want to share a thought that Curtis Price shared with me about small groups. Curtis is in Brian Benton's group. He says, I'm not a people person. I wasn't looking for a small group of people to share things with. That's not my personality. And I like that he said that, by the way, because I think he's not the only one. That may really fit you. Not looking for a small group of people to share things with, not my personality. However, I can look back and see how I was just getting part of what God intended. I now have the worship part and the close ties to folks that lean on each other to help fill both prayerful and physical needs. It really is something. I want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone. It may take a little bit of faith, and it is uncomfortable to enter a group that's already been established, but I want to encourage you to press out of your comfort zone and see if God will bless you and you can bless other people by being in a setting where you can really get deeper fellowship. And I want you to think about this sentence. Fit your life into your devotion to God. Fit your life into your devotion to God, not fit God into your devotion to life. What I mean is, if we're really passionate about life, if I'm really passionate about my hobbies, the things I do, maybe even my family, that's what I really love, and I'm so passionate about, and I fit God into that schedule, then God's just, he's down the list of things I'm passionate about, but he's really not at the top. And the contrast to that is God is at the top. God is what I'm most passionate about. He is my number one. Other things have to work around God. Other things will fit around God. And I challenge you to wrestle with that in your life. Will people say at the end of your life, this person, they loved God. They love God. They love to serve. They were most passionate about God. That's what I want them to say about me. The fact is, we need more time together, not less. And I also want to point out, if you're nervous about, you may go to a group that shares highs and lows. You don't have to share. Just you can just be there, and we routinely do this. Especially if it's your first time, you want to just come and watch. You can do that, and don't feel pressured more than you need to. And so that's how we want this to be. Our groups will be stronger if you help us support them. And the fact is, we all need a group of people to have our back. And we need to be in a group where we have some people's back. We're going to sing a song, Light the Fire. And this is, I encourage you to let God work in your life what you need to do. Let God take you from your walk with him now to a more devoted place, a more passionate place. We'll sing this together. If you have a need this morning, we'd love to stop and help you with that. Maybe somebody is ready to give your life to Christ. Why put that off? Why face God in judgment and you never gave your life to Christ? Become a Christian and save today. If you'll come while we stand and sing.
I stand to praise you, but I fall on my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak, like fire in my soul. Like fire in my soul.